Amen. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And we want to read some verses of this chapter with you. And it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had finished or left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, or when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of this passage of thy word. We pray that the truths and the principles of this passage will be written upon the hearts of thy people. Lord, you'll speak even to those that are not saved today. And Lord, show them their need of a Savior. Show them their need to listen to the word of God and to be obedient to it in salvation. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us today. Take away all thoughts and distractions. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. Lord, this is thy word. It's a living word. It's a life-changing word. And therefore, Lord, may we receive it with gladness and joy. And Lord, may we be obedient to whatever the Spirit of God would call us to do. Oh, Lord, come and meet with us now. We pray in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen and amen. We sang at the end of the second verse of our hymn there, "This one life that I have, I will yield, and the little I can, let me do." I wonder this morning, are you in obedience to the Lord? Are you walking in obedience? Does he have all that there is to have of you? Or is there something that you're holding back on? Is there something that you have not been obedient to in the Lord this past year? Well, I trust and pray this morning that as we read down this passage, you will see the great blessing of obedience. You'll see the wisdom of obedience and the great joy that results in your obedience. And I trust and pray that whatever the need of your heart is this morning, the Lord will speak to you and it will be put right. We start here in verse number 1 at Lake Gennesaret. Now, that is the Sea of Galilee. It's called Lake Gennesaret, also Tiberias. In the Old Testament, it's called Chinnereth. And it's also, of course, called Galilee. Many different names for this one place. And, for example, it's a little bit like, I suppose, towns sometimes have their names changed over the generations. But this is the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. Many of the records of the early part of Jesus' ministry take place around the Sea of Galilee, and some actually take place upon it. For example, this one. In verses 2 and 3, we see that there were fishing boats here. There were boats, or ships as they're called, but there were fishing boats, and one which was Simon's. And the Lord Jesus asked him to push that boat a little bit out into the sea, and that was used as a pulpit to preach to the people who had gathered to hear him. Now, the idea, most likely, Bible commentators believe, is that this was an arrangement of an amphitheatre-style place. So, for example, the Lord was sitting out on the boat, on the water, and the people were lined at the shore, going up the hillside, and as they listened, his voice would have echoed around, and there would absolutely have been no difficulty in hearing the Lord speak to the crowd that had gathered. You will also notice there that it says he sat down. Now, it's very much the custom in our day that whenever someone preaches or speaks to a congregation or to a gathering, that for the most part they stand. But in the Lord Jesus' day, this was the position of teaching in this culture at this time. The Lord Jesus did that, for example, when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. We read of that in John's Gospel 8, verse 2, and we read that he sat down to teach his disciples. We also read that he taught the people. Now, we don't know exactly what he taught them. We don't know what the message was that he declared out of the boat. But I'm sure Simon was listening intently as the Lord had asked him to thrust his boat out, and the Lord was using that as a pulpit. The Holy Spirit has not revealed to us the content of that message, but he has been pleased to reveal the conversation and the activities that followed the preaching of Christ. Now, you'll notice that after he had left speaking in verse number 4, he said unto Simon. And let's just stop there, because there's a lovely truth here. The Lord had a word for Simon. And sometimes we read over the basic words and sentences in Scripture, and we just say, well, that's a fact. And it is a fact, but it's also a wonderful truth for us to learn that God speaks to individuals. God speaks to individuals and reveals unto them his will and his plan, and he gives guidance to them. And it's wonderful when the Lord speaks to individuals. I remember whenever I was being called to go to Bible college. And certainly at that time, I didn't think that that's where I was going to be. In fact, I had no idea of Bible college in my years growing up, or even as I was going to Stranmillis to train to be a teacher. But during the end of my time there, these verses kept coming to me in Matthew 9, 37, 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It seemed to be that no matter where I went for a period of time, that these verses were coming up again and again. I remember reading books and these verses were quoted in the books. I remember coming to church, and even as Reverend McCrae preached, there were times he emphasized and spoke on these verses over a number of weeks. I remember even buying a gospel CD, and one of the songs was called The Fields Are White on the Harvest. And it seemed to be everywhere I turned, this verse was coming to me. But I wasn't sure. I wasn't entirely sure that this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And I kept praying that the Lord would give me guidance. And the Lord did get my attention. And the Lord spoke to me in a very clear way one day. And it was in 2004. It was actually the 7th of June 2004. And I was in the CEF bookshop on Templemore Avenue buying a card. For what, I do not know. But I paid the money anyway, and the receipt was given to me. And I have the receipt in my hand on the 7th of June 2004, and at the bottom of that receipt is printed, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9, 37. And I remember stopping. And it was that point, stopping in the middle of Templemore Avenue in Belfast, and I knew the Lord is speaking to me. This is what the Lord is calling me to do, to make myself available, to be a labourer in his field. And I remember going back to Hall's residence, getting down beside my bed and kneeling and saying, Lord, if I can be of service to thee, and if you want to use me, Lord, I'm willing to surrender my life to you. Now, that wasn't immediate. I didn't go into Bible college immediately. I went into teaching for 3 years full time, and then I went into Bible college in 2007. And it was the same verse that the Lord gave me the morning of my exam, my entrance interview for Bible college, the very same verse that the fields are white on the harvest. You know, whenever the Lord speaks to you, it makes a great difference. But how sad that there are many of God's people and they do not take time for the Lord to speak to them. No time to be still and hear the voice of God. No time to ask for the Lord's leading or the Lord's direction. They get up and go into the day. They make life-changing decisions. They do things that will have implication for their the husband or their wife or for their family or for their church without taking it to the Lord in prayer. I'm glad God speaks to individuals. I'm glad that whenever we come with a heart that is ready to listen and a spirit that's ready to yield, God will speak to us. Notice where the Lord spoke to Simon. He spoke to him in his workplace. Isn't that a lovely thought? It's great to have a word in the morning that you can take with you into the day to think upon, perhaps even at your work or as you're going about your business of the day, as you're driving in the car, a word that the Lord has given you, that the Lord can bless and impress upon your heart. We thank God for the fellowship of God's people. We thank God for the assembling of ourselves together. And we do this in obedience to his word. It's good to come together. It's good to be under the word of God. But church is not the only place where God can speak to you. He can speak to you in your workplace. He can speak to you in your home. He can speak to you as you're out for a walk. He can speak to you through his word impressed upon your heart. And this message was a message for this individual, but it was a message, an instruction to do something. An instruction to do something. Launch out. Leave where you are, Simon. Launch out from where you're standing right now into the deep. Go out into the deep part of the sea and let down your nets for a draught. Go fishing and be successful. We're at the start of a new year. We're really just a few hours into it, aren't we? A time when we naturally reflect, plan, prioritize. What's the Lord commanding you to do? As you've looked back over this past year and you look forward to this opportunity, this blank sheet, as it were, for you to live and make your mark this year, what is the Lord commanding you to do? Whatever it is, do it with all your heart. For some, it may be to spend more time with him in prayer. For some, it may be to come to church more. For some, it may be to go into full-time service. For some, to be more committed to the work of God. Maybe for some, the Lord is dealing with your heart and he's commanding you to leave off your bitterness and your wicked thoughts. For some, he is commanding you to rest in him and rejoice in him. For some, he's commanding you to be content with the things that you have. For some, he's asking you to pray about all decisions. For some, maybe this morning in this meeting, he is calling you to surrender all. Whatever he is commanding you to do, then it will be for your good and it will be to his glory. Perhaps this year the Lord has been speaking to you and asking you to take some individual or some individuals upon your heart, to seek to win them with the gospel, maybe to speak to them about their soul, maybe to give a gospel tract. Have you done it yet? That person the Lord laid on your heart, have you spoken to them yet? Have you messaged them yet? Have you prayed for them yet? I read a story this past week about a minister in New England in the United States, and he was not long in that parish, and he came to conduct a funeral service of a young woman who had died unexpectedly. And he entered into the house and he asked the question, was Mary a Christian? And to his surprise, a pained look came to the face of a friend and he said, well, 3 weeks ago I had a strong impulse to speak to her, but I did not and I do not know. A few moments later, Sunday school teacher came up and she said, 2 weeks ago, doctor or preacher, a voice seemed to say to me, speak to Mary. And I knew what it meant and I intended to, but I did not. And I don't know if she's saved. And deeply moved by these unexpected answers, a few minutes later, he met the girl's mother and quietly said to her, was Mary a Christian girl? And the tears rolled down the mother's eyes as she sobbed out, 1 week ago, a voice came to me saying, speak to Mary. And I thought about it, but I did not do it at the time. And you know how unexpectedly she went away, and I do not know. If the Lord puts someone upon your heart to speak to them, speak to them. If the Lord puts someone upon your heart to pray for them, pray for them. If the Lord puts someone upon your heart to invite to church or to give an invitation, then do it immediately, lest that opportunity fall to the wayside. As we look at Simon's reply in verse number 5, we see his reservations. He says, "We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." He and his co-workers had worked hard all night, but without success. What the Lord asked them to do seemed foolish, humanly speaking. It wasn't logical to the natural reasoning, and it made no sense from where anyone was standing. And many times when we look at the commands of God, humanly speaking, they seem foolish or illogical. They seem to make no sense to us. But then I'm remembered that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways, because his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. They're greater than ours. They're better than ours. And God's ways are the ways to go. And I'm impressed that while Simon expressed his thoughts and his reservations, he went through with God. In spite of those reservations, in spite of the doubt, he went at God's command. And I want us to look at his response today. And as we come to the end of our meeting, I want us to look at this response today. And I want us to take the words that he has used by taking away his doubts. Because while he expressed his doubts, he didn't act on them. He acted by faith in what the Lord said. And I want us to take the words out of verse number 5, "Master, at thy word, I will let down the net." Master, at thy word, I will. First of all, we see him addressing the Lord Jesus Christ as Master. Now, the first mention of the word Master in the New Testament is by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 6 and 24, when he said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Simon had to make a choice here. Was he going to obey the Lord because the Lord had given him instruction, or was he going to act upon what he saw and what he thought and do what he thought was best? You see, there are only two masters. There are only two ways you can go. You can either go in obedience to the Lord, making him and giving him that authority, or you can go your own way, whether that be of the world, the flesh, or the devil, and disobedience to the Lord. But there really only are two masters. There are only two types of people, those in obedience to the Lord and those in disobedience. One will command for your good. One master will command for your good, for your benefit and for your blessing. And one will command to your hurt, to your shame, to your guilt, to your despair. There's a daily battle going on, isn't there? Over who will have authority and mastership in your life. The Lord is your master. And praise God for those of us who are saved. He is our Savior, our Lord, our friend, and our master. That is a fact. But the world, self, and the devil will fight and vie for that control and for that authority in your heart and in your life. And if the Lord has given authority, and if he's given control, and if you surrender to him and your heart and your mind and your will, if that's surrendered to him, there will be an ongoing change in your life. When the Lord is master, he makes changes that will result in your maturity and result in your Christ-likeness, will result in a godly character. And that's what the Lord's interested in today. The character of his people. And that can only be changed when the heart is right before God. Now, I know that there are many times there are things on the internet which are inappropriate, they're sinful, etc. But I praise God over this past year that through Facebook there have been many things that have been posted by people in this congregation that have been spiritually uplifting. Verses of scripture, songs of praise, little thoughts about what the Lord has shown them in his word. And I rejoice in that. Wholesome, uplifting, edifying, godly content. And that's what we need on the likes of that. And one of those Facebook posts I saw, and I just want to simply read the words of it. It's very simple, but very effective. And it talked about the new year. And here's what it simply said. Less me. Less pride. Less anger. Less drama, less gossip, less bitterness, less complaining, less selfishness, and more of Jesus. And that's what we need, isn't it? Less of everything and more of him. And this title, Master, speaks of submission and obedience. And Simon Peter was in a place where he was going to be obedient that day. He was going to submit to the Lord. Are you in that place today? Can you truly say that your desire is to do the will of God, whatever that would be for your life? If so, then you're in the place of blessing. But if not, Christian, if not, what's holding you back today? What's holding you back from obeying God, going through with God? You see, your plans and your ideas and your ways are not and will not be better than the Lord's. You'll not prosper more your way than God's way. You'll not be happier your way than you are God's way. God's ways are the best. God's ways are the truly blessed ways. Oh, what joy there is in surrendering to him. Some people, even believers, sometimes have the idea, well, if I give everything to the Lord and I give him full control, I ain't going to miss out. Oh, the Lord is no man's debtor. Queen Elizabeth I in the 16th century asked a prominent merchant to go to the continent to conduct some business for her. And he said, Your Majesty, if I go abroad, then my own business will suffer at home. And the Queen replied, You attend to my business, and I'll see that yours suffers no loss. Is that not true of the Lord? We go through with God, and all these things shall be added unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You'll not be in loss. You'll not be in want. You'll not be deprived of those things that you need. But the Lord will see that you have those things that you need. We thought of the word master. But then look at the little statement, at thy word. This is important, at thy word. You see, this is a recognition of the significance of the command. This is the word of God. This was the Lord speaking. This was the Messiah speaking, the Son of God. And remember, as you read this book, the Lord is speaking to you in as real a way as he spoke to Simon Peter at the side of the Sea of Galilee that day so many years ago. Remember, this is not just literature, but this is spiritual revelation. This book is a message for you from God today. There's something that God wants you to know. And friend, you will not know until you open it. Whenever we want to get information, we go to the newspaper. And having the newspaper does not give us information. We have to open it and we have to read. Maybe go to the website of the news company and we try and find what's happening. Well, bringing up the website, that does not give the information. You actually have to read it and take in what is being told to you. Friend, having a Bible, even giving it pride of place on your bedside table or in a place in your living room, friend, that is not enough. You must open this book and you must read this book to see what God is saying to you. Every message that's preached, God is speaking to you. Every verse of scripture, every chapter, every book of the Bible that you read or you see on posters as you go past the side of the road, whatever it is, God is speaking to you. And I'll tell you, if someone came into your house and sat down and you were trying to have a serious conversation with them and they were busy looking out the window or fiddling on their phone or they were thinking about something else and their eyes were away in a glaze, you would stop and say, Are you listening to me? And yet sometimes people come to God's house or even open the Bible in their own devotions at home. And yes, they're looking at the words, but they're not taking it in. They're not reading. They're not thinking. They're not paying attention. Does the Lord have your attention? Does the Lord have your listening ear today? Whenever we think of this little statement, at thy word, every word that the Lord speaks and gives to us is a word of truth. And it's a word of wisdom. Now, I know that there are people today, and they take this Bible as a basis for debate. Others try and discredit the words of the Lord. But the Lord declares that his word abideth forever. It shall never pass away. And this is significant. Because you can put the word of God out of your mind. Even the thing that God has commanded you to do, even as you have done it maybe this past year, and God has given you a command and you've just rejected it, you've forgotten about it, you've tried to put it out of your mind, God is still speaking. Even though you put it out of your mind, God is still speaking. Your disobedience by refusal or delay does not change that fact. And friend, you closing this book does not mean that God has stopped speaking to you. It means that you have stopped listening to God. Your disobedience does not mean that God has changed his mind about what he wants you to do. It means that you have stopped listening to God. And what hurt and pain and regret we often know when we disobey his word. And we can all look back at our lives and say, well, that was a time of difficulty and hurt and pain, but I brought it on myself because it went against something that God's word told me to do. But the thing I want to remind you this morning is this: God's word always calls for a response. It always calls for a response. Whatever message you hear, there ought to be a response. Maybe a command to be obeyed. Maybe a principle to be applied in your life. Maybe a promise to be trusted in or prayed over. In James 1:22 it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be ye hearers of the word, or doers of the word, sorry, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Friend, even if you're saved and you hear a gospel message preached, and the preacher is compelling sinners to come to Christ for salvation, you ought to respond to that word. In what way? You ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, I've experienced the new birth. I've been washed in the blood. Thank you, Lord, the Spirit dwells within. Lord, thank you, I'm saved. And I'm now praying for those around me that they also will come to know thee as their Savior." That's how we ought to respond. At thy word. You see, the Lord has a plan for us and a desire for us. Read an illustration this week, and it talked about a young boy, and his father had asked him to do something on the farm, and he was going into town, he was going to come back again, they wanted it to be done. But as he walked, his father walked off into town, the son looked at the barn door and he thought, "Well, that barn door looks a bit worn and a bit aged, and I know there's some paint there and a new paintbrush. I'm going to paint that. And my father will be pleased." And he says he painted the door. He thought he'd done a wonderful job, was expecting all this praise from his father. And his father came home and he asked him, had he done the job that he'd left him? And he said, "No." And the man said, "Well, I'll not tell you the next part of the story, but it was very unpleasant." And then he said, his father chastised him and said, "I wanted you to do the task that I gave you. And while that may be good, it's not what I wanted you to do." And I ask each believer, you may be engaged in something that, yes, in and of itself is good, but are you engaged in the task that your Heavenly Father has given you? Are you engaged in the task that God has asked you to do? Master, he's submitting to what the Lord has asked him to do. At thy word, he's heard. He's taken on board what the Lord is saying. Then I will. Now, in this instance, it is let down the net. But I will. And we read here that at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, it was immediate response. He responded immediately to the Lord. Now, I know that much is sometimes made of the word nets being used in verse number 4, where it says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And then the word net in verse 5 and 6, where it says, "At thy word I will let down the net." And at the end of that verse, "and their net break." But whenever I looked at these words in the original, in the Greek, they're all the same word. It's a plural word. And actually, in the original, verse number 5 and verse number 6 reads, "And let down your nets for a draught." And then it says, verse number 5, "At thy word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. Now, do not ask me why it was translated as a singular word when it's a plural in the original. But it is the fact that he did obey. And he obeyed immediately, and he did obey fully. He didn't take out a net, he took out nets. And remember, this is a translation of God's word. And when we go back to the original, we see the full revelation of what has been written. So he did take out the nets. And that word which says the nets break, it's a word in the Greek which means beginning to break. They were straining to breaking point. They didn't actually snap, because had they done so, they wouldn't have been able to gather the fish in. And therefore, that's what the word means in the original. It means they were beginning to break. So he obeyed immediately. He was rewarded for obedience. Oh, get this into your heart today. The Lord wants to bless you as you obey him. Oh, what joy there is that floods your soul as you walk in obedience to the Lord. He was blessed and rewarded in a greater way than he could ever have hoped for. How do I know that? Because he went out thinking, well, he was able to bring in the fish, or maybe somebody else went out with him. But such was the blessing that came. Such was the amount of fish that were gathered in that day. He had to call for others to come and help him. You know, the Lord blesses us in greater ways than we could ever hope for or imagine or dream of. And I'll tell you, whenever you go through with God, nobody says, oh, I regret that. I've yet to meet one person who said, I regret going through with God. I've met many who said, I wish I had gone through with God. But I'll tell you, you go through with God, you obey his word, and you'll be rewarded. He was rewarded as he obeyed. And friend, you could be on the brink of a blessing. You could be on the brink of a blessing today. But your foolish disobedience and holding back robs you of that blessing. Oh, go through with God. He was rewarded, but it was also recorded. Because in the Bible, we have this account. 2,000 years later, we read of the record of this. But more than that, I believe it was also recorded in heaven. Because we read of a day when our works will be tried by fire. And those things that were done sincerely and in the name of the Lord and for the glory of God will be rewarded. And there's coming a day of great reward. Simon Peter will be rewarded for his obedience this day. And friend, you and I will be rewarded for our obedience. Sometimes we do obey the Lord, and sometimes we don't see maybe any immediate fruit, or we don't see any immediate blessing. But I'll tell you, there's coming a great day where the Lord will bless and reward those of his people who have been faithful, even to a cup of cold water given in his name. And therefore, we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And what a day that will be when we receive the crown of glory and whenever we receive the rewards for faithfulness. But I want you to notice something else. It was a contrast to before. It was a contrast to before. Because they went out and did what they had been doing. But there was a difference this time. They were going at the command of God, and they were going with the word of God. You see, they had been laboring and working, but they were unsuccessful on their own without the Lord. They'd been out all night, for hours that night, trying and trying and trying. And yet with just a few moments at the command of the Lord and with the presence of God, what a work was done. And I'll tell you, see, whenever you start to obey the Lord and go through with God, what a contrast it will be in your life. Oh, the joy will be there. The peace will be there. Oh, the communion and the closer walk with God will be there. Friend, it's a blessing. It's a joy to serve him. It's a joy to go through with him. And if you want to make this the best year of your life, then you put Christ first in everything that you do. And whatever he calls you do it with a glad heart. You say, Lord, here am I. I'm surrendered to thee today. Lead me, guide me, bless me. What lessons can we learn from this passage? God always blesses obedience. God always blesses it. Maybe you do the right thing sometimes, and people don't like it, and people speak against you. But friend, God always rewards obedience. God always blesses obedience. Obedience, secondly, to God's command will lead to a great change in your life. Will lead to a great change in your life. And I know whenever we obey God and the things that he has revealed, then our lives are enhanced, they're blessed. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The presence of the Lord is our reality. And therefore, friend, don't hold back the blessing. Don't hold back some part of your heart or your life, but open it up today. Thirdly, the commands of God at times do not make sense to men. They do not make sense. For example, we are to go and preach the gospel to people whose hearts are hard, to people who are enemies of God, to people who are in the bondage and the chains of sin, and we're told to preach to them, to look and to live. It seems strange, doesn't it? It seems impossible. Ah, but whenever you do God's will, God blesses. And it's through the preaching of the word of God that the Lord has ordained that souls will be saved. And therefore, while it may seem to make no sense to man, it's God's ways, and God's ways always prosper. God's ways always work. How do I know that? Because across this gathering, there are men and women and boys and girls who have been saved through the preaching of the word of God. Ah, but would it not be better to entertain them? Would it not be better to get them laughing and, you know, kind of on your side? And no. It's through preaching of the word of God that souls are saved. And the final thought is this: the Lord will daily lead and guide his people. This was one instance in Simon's life. But praise God, it wasn't the only time that the Lord spoke to him. Because you'll find that not only did Simon, but James and John, verse 11, they brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. And for the next 3 years, they were going to be in the constant presence of the Lord. And the Lord would speak to them. Now, not all the time was Simon obedient. Not all the time did the disciples go through with God. But praise God, they were in his presence and they heard his voice. And many times they were in obedience. And for the rest of their lives, they were able to walk with the Lord. The Lord daily wants to lead you and he wants to guide you, dear Christian. The Lord has a plan for you today. The Lord has a wonderful purpose. The Lord has a wonderful blessing for you today. Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to obey? Are you being obedient in God's revealed will? Which, of course, is those commands which are for everyone to assemble yourselves together, to seek his face in prayer, to come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, to separate yourselves from sin, to love him. Are you obedient to those things? But then has there been something specific that the Lord has called you to do? Maybe a work. Maybe a task. Maybe to go and speak to someone. Whatever that is, obey him today. And know his great blessing as you go through with God. Maybe there's someone here and you're not saved. You need to come in obedience to the Lord today. Listen as he calls you to leave your sin, to leave the broad road that leads to hell, to leave the guilt and the shame and the pain and the suffering that all comes from a life of sin, and to be cleansed in his precious blood. Maybe you have high hopes for this year, sinner. Maybe you hope this will be a better year than last year. The only way you can truly enter into any day, week, month, or year with hope and confidence is to do so in the hands of God. You can try your best, but if you are not saved, all you're doing is adding to your record of sin and walking closer to hell. Praise God, today there's one and he's calling you. Come unto me. And if you call upon his name, thank God, you will be saved. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you today. Maybe the Lord's been putting his finger upon something in your life. And the preacher doesn't know, and the person beside you in the pew doesn't know. Ah, but the Lord's speaking to you. The Lord's speaking to you. Maybe it's to do with the prayer meeting. Maybe it's to do with your family. Maybe it's to do with your workplace. Maybe it's to do with service. Friend, whatever it is, go through with God. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee that we have a Saviour who walks and talks with his people, one who speaks to us and clearly shows us his will. And Lord, we thank thee for thy will revealed in thy word. We thank you, Lord, for those things that are true to all Christian people, those commands that thou hast given to us that we are to obey and put into practice in our lives. But then we realize, Lord, that above that there are specific things that you speak to individuals about. And Lord, whatever you've been speaking to that individual about today, that man, that woman, that young person, whatever you're laying upon their heart, help them to go through with God. Help them to honor thee. Help them to put thee first and to know the great joy of service and blessing. Lord, we want this year to be a year of going on with God. We don't want to be, as it were, waiting in the shallow parts, but we want to go out into the deep. We want to swim in the deep waters of blessing. And we pray, O Lord, that thee will help us to take time to listen to thy voice, to read thy word, to meet with thee in the place of prayer, and then by the grace of God and in the strength of the Saviour, to do what thou hast asked us to do. Oh, what a blessing lies ahead for those who will say, yes, Lord. May it be so today, we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.